Welcome back to the second half of my conversation with the amazing Dr. Lee Walters, world-leading expert on the topic of positive psychology. If you haven't listened to the first half of this conversation, make sure you do that and then have fun with the second half of this interview. And you also research on the topic of gratitude at work, which I really want to talk about. And this connection of positivity and productivity is there. It's research, so it's a fact. Can you first define what is gratitude in the workplace, mm-hmm. and how can we put that concept into place?
Gratitude is your capacity to notice and appreciate the good things around you. So when we experience in the workplace what I call gratitude deficit disorder, it's because that process of either noticing or appreciating has broken down somewhere. And so maybe it's that first part. People are failing to notice that there's air conditioning, they have good parking, there's a good coffee machine, there's a sense of humour, there's a sense of loyalty, there are good people, they offer a great product that they're proud of. And that, I mean, that's a normal human thing. We do adapt. We psychologically adapt to our environment and we don't see it anymore. We take it for granted. The second way in which gratitude can break down in a workplace is like maybe you do notice, but you stop appreciating. So you just take it for granted. You do notice that, you know, you work in a really nice building, or you have good colleagues, or you get good sickness benefits, or you get great holidays, or there's a fantastic Christmas party every year. You still sort of register it, but you don't appreciate it any longer. You just think, well, this is just a kind of, this is what I deserve. This is a standard feature of the workplace. So one of the things that we know diminishes gratitude is a sense of entitlement. So yes, you know, I get all of these great things from my workplace, but I'm kind of entitled to it. So I'm not going to feel grateful for it. And all that serves to do for you as an individual is it robs you of the experience to have this positive emotion. When we experience gratitude, that beautiful positive emotion, when we notice and appreciate the good things around us, it gives us this little micro moment. It gives a gratitude. People who experience gratitude on a regular basis have less bitterness, less depression. They have higher life satisfaction. They have stronger relationships. They have better health. They have greater immunity. Like there's a reason why gratitude as an emotion has stayed with us as a species. There's a reason why. If it served no adaptive purpose for us, we wouldn't have kept it as a species. We would have chucked it out a long time ago and said, gratitude, nah, doesn't really do anything. I'm going to get rid of it. Gratitude serves an adaptive purpose. In the moment where you experience gratitude, it builds up this bank account over time. Changes the way we think, it changes the way we feel, it changes our health, changes the way we relate to people. But I think the power of gratitude in a workplace is that it's relational. So you get the individual benefits of stepping back and having a look at your workplace and saying, you know what, I'm really thankful that we get X, Y, and Z benefits here. But gratitude is a pro-social emotion. And what I mean by that is that when you experience gratitude, more often than not, you want to thank someone. You want to say to your boss or your colleague, thanks for doing that, you know, thanks for taking this on, or, you know, thanks for mentoring me, thanks for getting me a cup of coffee when you went out to get yourself a coffee, thanks for bringing me onto this project or this committee, thanks for bringing in a birthday cake, thanks for having a birthday party, thanks for hiring me in the first place. So we do, we feel, we want to give thanks. And that's kind of the third part of the formula for gratitude, the formula for gratitude that I work on. So we've got noticing, then we've got appreciating, and then we've got acknowledging. So I actually call them the three A's, because the first one is awareness of good things. The second one is acknowledging those good things. And then, oh, sorry, the second one is appreciating those good things. And then the third one is acknowledging. And acknowledging, and whether it's the acknowledging part of gratitude in the workplace that makes, that creates that social glue. And that's the pro-social component. So I feel grateful, and then I thank the person who's done the kind of act of kindness or whatever it is that they've done to make me feel grateful. So then they feel good too, because being on the receiving end of gratitude is a lovely emotion, makes us feel seen, makes our efforts feel seen, it makes us feel validated. And what happens is that you add another layer to that, and that is the witnessing of gratitude. So I can feel gratitude and I can express it to the benefactor, someone who's given me something of value, and I can say thank you to you. But if a colleague witnesses that, then the colleague gets these benefits as well. So you get this, what I would call it, this kind of multiplier effect, this pro-social multiplier effect in an organization, where this one simple act, which is the act of gratitude, ends up being good for you, it ends up being good for your colleague who you thanked, and it ends up being good for your colleagues who witness that. This is why I'm so hooked on gratitude in the workplace. I think it's got what we in psychology we would call psychological potency. It's a very potent emotion. You know, I can have another positive emotion. I can have joy, for example, or I could have wonder or awe. And that's not necessarily a pro-social emotion. It's great for me to experience that. It's a beautiful moment. I can feel joy or wonder or awe. But it doesn't have that pro-social element where I feel then sort of almost compelled to share that with someone else, because what gives me joy or wonder or awe could be quite different to someone else. So this is why I think gratitude has a lot of psychological potency. It is often overlooked in workplaces because that, you know, we break down at either failing to be aware or failing to appreciate or failing to acknowledge. It breaks down for a range of reasons. It breaks down firstly just because of hedonic adaptation. We just adapt and adjust and normalize our circumstances. Well, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I ever travel to like a developing country, I come back to Australia with this huge amount of appreciation for the fact that there's free clean water and, you know, there are public toilets and things like that. But I take them for granted normally. So hedonic adaptation, taking things for granted, is one of the reasons why it breaks down. Another reason is that entitlement. You know, we think, well, I'm working hard, I'm getting a good paycheck, I don't need to like be thankful for the additional things. And then the third part, which is the failure to acknowledge, that occurs psychologically speaking for a couple of reasons. The two main reasons why we wouldn't acknowledge at work are indebtedness, a sense of indebtedness. And a sense of embarrassment. So, and both of those, what underpins both of those is power dynamics. You know, so in the research that I do, when I kind of explore why people are not more grateful, and you know, people talk about, well, if I say thank you, if I express my gratitude, then it's kind of taken away my power. It means that I owe something to someone else, or, you know, they've got something over me because they've done something for me. And so I don't want to feel indebted, and I don't want to feel that you know, I owe them something, that they have power over me. So I'd rather just not acknowledge what is occurring. That's the first kind of reason. The second one is embarrassment. I just think we're not well practiced, depending on how you were raised and, you know, the culture that you're in. And but we can feel a little bit embarrassed or awkward about saying thank you. And the person who receives the thank you can also feel embarrassed, you know, and they make you feel embarrassed. Oh, don't mention it. It was nothing. Don't mention it. Because they get a bit embarrassed that you've sort of given them gratitude and you've turned the spotlight on them. It's very complicated. It's actually quite a complicated and evolved emotion. But like I said, it's an adaptive emotion. We do tend to overlook it in the workplace because for all the reasons that I've just mentioned, but I also think maybe just because we don't truly appreciate how potent it can be. And yet, as you mentioned before, you know, the research shows it's a major predictor of how satisfied someone is in their job. In some instances, it's a higher predictor of job satisfaction than your salary. And I think that speaks to, it speaks to a really fundamental need, a fundamental human need in all of us. And that is the need to be seen, the need to be seen and the need to be, to feel that we are contributing to our tribe, to our group, to feel that we are a valued member of society, you know, of the work team, of our family, of our social group. That feeling of being isolated, that feeling of not being seen, that, you know, this kind of rising global phenomenon of like loneliness and feeling disconnected. And all the medical research now is showing that, you know, people who feel lonely, people who don't feel seen, who don't feel connected, it has similar medical implications to alcoholism and smoking a large number of cigarettes every day and, you know, heart problems. So I think this is where the power of gratitude is that it really speaks to this primal fundamental need for people to be seen. And that's what gratitude does. Mm. You know, I thank you for having me on your podcast. And what I'm saying to you is, you know, I really appreciate this. You've given me an opportunity. I understand that. You've given me an opportunity to have a voice. And I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate that you're putting on this podcast, and I appreciate that you're using your time and your energy and your effort above and beyond, no doubt, a very busy life and your own job, to be able to share, you know, these kind of ideas. You're putting in effort for that, and when I thank you for that, I'm recognizing that I'm seeing you, and it's a really fundamental need for all of us. And that simple word, thank you. Such a simple word, but what it's really doing is turning your attention to someone and in that moment saying, I see you and I appreciate you.
And it immediately gives me that warm feeling. So thank you for expressing your gratitude.
Yeah, that's my pleasure.
It's interesting, yeah. So it has so many positive effects that it's really worth strengthening that gratitude muscle, right? Like little by little. Mm. Doing it again and again in the workplace, in all of our relationships. It's such a good tool. I'm doing in some of my team developments that I'm doing, I start the day with a round of gratitude. And it's really a muscle that hasn't been trained a lot. And people are like, well, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. There was nothing I could be grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then really going back and seeing like you had a good night's sleep, you had a great cup of coffee, you had no traffic getting here. So many little things, but you have to prime yourself on seeing those things rather than, well, I'm here and I'm stressed and I'm still tired, right? It's a switch on your focus.
It is. It's a switch. And the thing is, gratitude is an emotion, but it's also a practice. And we can practice gratitude, and we can get better at it. It's like a kind of form of creating a neural pattern where our brain is typically our brain scans for what is going wrong, and the psychologists call this the negativity bias. I talk about this in my book, and that's the pattern of our brain. What is going wrong? Where's the threat? How can I avoid danger? What do I need to fix? And when we start to more intentionally practice gratitude, we're actually asking ourselves the opposite question. What is going right? What do I appreciate? What am I aware of? Who can I acknowledge? And like anything, the more you practice it, you create that kind of patterning in your brain. You're creating these new neural networks that are really training your brain to look for what is going right. And it is amazing. It's so simple, but I've had that same experience as you time and time and time again with families, with school teachers, with students, with workplaces where you just engage in this simple practice. And what happens is first few weeks, people don't have much to say. And then they come into work and they've got all of these amazing things that have happened because it becomes easier. You're training your brain to spot certain, it's like that phenomenon of when you're deciding to buy a new car. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you everywhere you drive, that new the brand of car that you're looking at, you just see this red car everywhere you go all of a sudden. So you're priming your brain to what to look for, and it becomes easier. And so people start to talk about it. And it becomes, so it's a practice. And like anything, we have to practice it and we build it up. It becomes easier over time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks a lot for that. And Lee, we didn't have time to talk about your book, The Strength Switch, How Strengths-Based Parenting Can Help Your Child to Flourish, which is an amazing book. I'm reading it at the moment.
Thank you.
I don't have children yet, but I feel prepared. I feel prepared once I read that book.
Oh, lovely.
It's an amazing book. And I love that you focus on children because, I mean, obviously the children of today are the leaders of tomorrow. Mm. So my last question is, when we raise our children with that awareness, strengths, rather than only focusing on the weaknesses, what is good in our child, and giving our child that self-awareness, that resilience, that compassion for themselves, how do you see the relation between raising our children like that and creating a better workplace of tomorrow?
Mm. For me, really talking about intergenerational change. So my PhD was in organizational psychology. The first 10 years of my life were in business school at the University of Melbourne, working with corporates, working with senior leaders, team development. And I found time and time again that every time I introduced these ideas of like gratitude and mindfulness and strengths, connecting leaders up with their strengths, engaging in strengths spotting, focusing on kind of process praise. Time and time again, these leaders would say, why didn't I learn this earlier? Now, this would have been really helpful for me if I had have learned it when I was new, you know, into the workplace. And why didn't I learn this when I first started working in my early 20s? I was getting that question a lot. At the same time, I was raising my two children, and I was introducing them to the same sort of ideas that I was introducing to these kind of senior corporate leaders, obviously in a simpler way with more developmental language. But what I learned was that in many instances, my two children at that stage, sort of young children, 4 years old, were learning these concepts much more quickly than the adults. And I think it's because they didn't have to unlearn. They didn't have to unlearn the negativity bias, and they didn't have to unlearn self-protective behaviors. They didn't have to unlearn power. They didn't have to unlearn cynicism. They just learned it a lot more quickly. So I think that if we can start with kids young, it sets them up for, you know, better opportunities at school, to be their best, greater friendships, a bit of an antidote, if you like, to the rising youth mental illness that we're seeing all across the world. It helps them when they're young, but it also sets them up on a trajectory into their adult life. And this is where the intergenerational change comes about, because these people, you raise your children in a strength-based way and they grow up to be strength-based lawyers, strength-based doctors, strength-based researchers, strength-based teachers, you know, strength-based artists, strength-based community workers, you name it. And they bring that into their workplace, and they bring it into their role as parents, and they bring it into their role as sports coaches and colleagues and friends and partners. And you know, this is how we create those kind of generational effects. In this case, of a positive seed that creates that generational effect in 2 decades' time.
That's an amazing vision. And again, I want to acknowledge you, Lee, for the incredible work you're putting out into the world, for showing up, being vulnerable, being authentic, sharing your story. Creating so much wisdom and so much positivity all around the world.
Thank you.
And also thank you for taking the time and for sharing with this with my community a lot of your wisdoms. And I'm going to put all the links to your website, to your book, into the show notes. Really big, big, big recommendation, The Strength Switch, for all parents or not yet parents like me.
It's been interesting with the book. A lot of people who aren't parents have read it. Because the idea, I mean, I apply the ideas to parenting and, you know, how it is that you can raise your children to be mindful and have gratitude and connect with their strengths. But the ideas are universal. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who are reading it as parents but then saying, I'm applying this in my workplace, or I'm a teacher and I'm using it in my classroom, or don't tell my husband but I'm actually using it with him. And the ideas are very universal. And to be honest, when I pitched the book to Penguin, my editor, who's based in New York, she said, why are you making this a parenting book? You know, this applies in the workplace, it applies in marriages, it applies in your own healing journey. You know, it's a big idea. That's what she called. She said, this is a big idea. But, you know, she knew that because of my own personal journey and my own backstory, how committed I was to giving as many families as I can across the world a different opportunity to the opportunity that I had growing up in my family. And so she would try to talk me out of making it a parenting book, but she could see that my moral compass was really set to making it a parenting book. But I liked the fact that you're reading it not yet a parent. It'll definitely prepare you as a parent, but it's going to prepare you for many other things in life too.
Oh, absolutely. As a trainer and coach, I'm bringing it into my trainings, into the coaching. There's so many ideas of concrete things you could do with teams to become more grateful and stuff. So yeah, thank you very much for your work, Lee. And I wish you all the best. Thanks for taking the time. And yeah, I hope to see you again very soon, maybe in Melbourne or when you come to Germany for a conference. I think you've never been to Germany, right?
Once. I've been there once.
But as a speaker?
Not as a speaker. So actually as a tourist for one night, in Hamburg. So it's definitely on my bucket list to get back to Germany. But look, you know, it's been so delightful to reconnect with you. I can't believe it was 2015. Time flies by so quickly. But yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks for your engaging questions and the work that you're doing. And thanks for putting value on what I'm doing and what I'm trying to put out into the world. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Wow. This was a conversation with Professor Lee Waters. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I took so many things from this interview. I'm super, super grateful that I could share this interview with you. And I'm going to strengthen my gratitude muscle. That was one of my learnings, that it's not only a skill, but we can actually train it and become better at being grateful and this amazing effect it has on our life. So I'm going to practice that. I hope you too. Let me know what you took away from this interview, either on my Instagram, Natalie Business at Heart, or via LinkedIn, my email, or my website. There are so many ways to connect with me. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and family and leave me a review on iTunes. That helps other people to find the podcast as well and helps us to spread the message of Business at Heart and a new kind of business world. Thanks again for listening. I hope you tune in next time again, and I'm sending you lots of love from Cologne.